The following program is rated U for universal audiences and is considered suitable for listeners of all ages.
This is a presentation of Dream Realm Enterprises, where dreams are our reality.
Okay, and welcome back to Q-Hoo. This is your host, John Russell, and this is episode 216, season 2, number 16. And today we are going to be taking a close look at, finally, the steelbook release of Doctor Who, The Abominable Snowmen, the new animated release, the last animated release, supposedly, for a while. We obviously don't know when or if they're going to continue doing these. I think they will. I don't see why they wouldn't. From what I understand, this one actually, so far, has been selling well. So if the BBC can see that these are selling well, they'll make an effort to do some more, I'm sure, even if it's filling in gaps here and there. Like with the Celestial Toymaker, perhaps, the Underwater Menace, the Wheel in Space, do we dare hope? and at some point, of course, they're going to want to tackle a really big story that people really want to see, and that would be like Marco Polo or the Daleks Master Plan. I think those two eventually will get made. If some don't get made, for whatever reason, it's not going to be the big dogs like those that people really want to see. We may never see the Crusade animated. I don't know. We may never see the Underwater Menace animated because it's not really considered a good story. The Space Pirates, even though I love it, it doesn't get a lot of respect in fandom. And that's just because, we don't have anything to really represent it except for part two. It's the only episode that exists. There are no telesnaps to that story. So it's a tough sell to fans, that story. I hope that one gets done eventually because I really enjoy the Space Pirates. I think it's a good story. Is it Robert Holmes' best story? Certainly not. But I think it's a good story and deserves to be animated at some point. Even if it's just the 5 episodes that are missing. So, and it would finish season 6, and that would be great for the box set releases. We need that completed, I think, before they even consider releasing season 6. But I suspect season 6 will probably be the first Troughton season to be released, whether Space Pirates is animated or not. I think we're going to see that in the next year or two, but that's just my opinion. I have no idea. Okay, on to why we're here, which is talking about The Abominable Snowmen. The Abominable Snowmen is a story that I really love. It's my favorite Troughton story, based on the telesnaps and the soundtrack that we have. I've never read the novelization that I can recall. I look forward to hearing it when I get to the audiobook. Just based on what I've seen and heard, I've always loved The Abominable Snowmen. And the last time I went through it on the telesnaps, I really fell in love with it. And the animation just confirmed what I already knew. It's a terrific story. The only odd thing about this story is that they never added any incidental music to it. It is very bleak in that regard. It's empty. The background is so empty, and there's a lot of nice moments in there that could use some music. So it's probably hard to get through for some people because of that. I've heard some criticisms of the story, especially watching various reviews on YouTube. I don't think you know, I don't think it fares well because of that. I want to dismiss the people that say the animation isn't great. The animation is beautiful, honestly. The animation is one of the best animations we've had, period. And, of course, I love pretty much all the animations. The only one that I've had a problem with is, of course, The Web of Fear. And we all know why that is. It is a terrible animation, and everybody knows it. So, you know, that's the one unfortunate incident. But, you know, but there is a nice fan animation of Web of Fear Part 3 that's out there floating around that I always watch whenever I watch the story, which makes up for it. So it's a solid fan effort. And I wish we had more fan efforts like that. We have fan animators that'll do a few minutes here and a few minutes there, or half an episode, but they never seem to finish them. So I wish the fans would get together and animate some of these, especially the ones that are less likely to get animated. It would be nice to see the fans get together and actually do it, because the fans are capable. We've seen some nice fan efforts, as I've said. So, if you guys are listening, come on, fans, get with it. Animate us some wonderful missing episodes. So if we're not going to have any for a while, at least the fans can make that effort. I mean, they've all been animated by fans. There are a couple of fans that went through and edited, you know, they were animated. Animated all the missing episodes, and they were passable. But there are better efforts out there, and there are fans that are really good at this animation. Josh Snares is one that comes to mind, but he doesn't seem to want to do any missing episode animations, and I really wish he would, because Josh, if you're listening, and I don't know why you would, but if you are listening, you are brilliant. You are extremely talented. You're a wonderful animator. Loved the Tom Baker, David Tennant story that you did based on the Big Finish story. And you could put your time and effort into animating, say, The Crusade. I know you do a great job. So, I wish Josh would work on some missing episodes, and he's a big Hartnell fan like me, so it would make sense. But for whatever reason, he doesn't want to do it, and you know, I respect his choice not to, but I would really, really love if he would actually animate at least a two-parter, you know. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But yeah, hopefully the fans will make a better effort. But as for Abominable Snowmen, I've heard some ridiculous criticisms of it that make no sense. People that say it's slow, it's hard to watch, and I can't watch it all in one sitting. Who are you? You know, why do you call yourself fans if you can't sit through what is probably the best Troughton story? It's certainly up there in the top five, and I think fans from way back over the years will tell you the same. It is a fantastic story, and that's why they chose to animate it, because it is a great story. And it's a nice companion piece, of course, to The Web of Fear, which is another one that fans really love. So it was kind of a must-animate story. And they did a beautiful job. And of the current run of them, from, say, you know, from Macroterra up through Fury from the Deep, this one is the best. I know a lot of people think Evil of the Daleks is the best, and it was a wonderful one. Don't get me wrong. It's a very close second. But the best of this current run is this one. I think it was beautifully done. Everything flows beautifully. The movements are natural. The walking of the characters is natural. They look right. It just came together. They actually did a great job animating Patrick Troughton and getting his expressions and so forth. Better than, you know, most of the ones I've seen so far. And I have loved, you know, most of the ones that have come out. And I don't have any real criticism for any of them except for, again, the elephant in the room, Web of Fear. But I think it's wonderful. It's the best one we've seen since the moon base, I think. And I think it hits better than any of the other animations, except for, just in my opinion, apparently, The Reign of Terror, which I think is the best animation we've ever had, except for one quick moment of one scene, and The Tenth Planet and The Moon Base. Those three are my top three favorite animations, and I think this one tops everything below that. I think it's better than The Invasion. I think it's better than The Ice Warriors. I think it's better even than, like I said, Evil of the Daleks, which was a really terrific one. And the story itself, I don't think it's slow. I don't think it plods along. I don't think I sat and watched it in one sitting, and it was just like, wow, it's over. It moved along beautifully. It paces up very well. The only thing that I, you know, would say is, yeah, there's no music. There's absolutely no music. There's no incidental music, and that it does stand out. I've never noticed that before, though. That's the weird thing. I've watched episode 2, the existing episode, 1,000 times over the years and never noticed that we didn't have any incidental music. I've watched the telesnaps, never noticed that we didn't have any incidental music until people were pointing it out reviewing this particular release. And I'm just like, wow, wait, what? And I had to watch it to find out for myself. And it's true. Although there are some lies out there in reviews, because I've seen some reviews where people said, oh, there's no close-ups. It's all wide shots and mid shots. That's not true either. There are close-ups within the production in this animation. It does happen. They're not often, but it happens. So I don't understand fans. I just don't understand fandom. Before it even came out, people were complaining about it. That's the sad thing about fandom as it stands today. And I think a lot of it has to do with most of the people who are looking at these and reviewing these. They're more modern fans. They like the new series, and the new series moves at 90 miles a minute. Everything comes at you real fast. Comes at you so fast that you don't often see the problems with the scripts and so forth, because it comes at you at a million miles an hour, and you have to stop and think about it and rewatch it and go, oh, wait a minute, that wasn't that great, was it? But I just think that they're bombarded with so much of this mediocre crap that moves at 90 miles an hour. But I think that has a lot to do with it, why people criticize things like this, like the Abominable Snowman in particular. And they think, oh, it's so slow. And it's really not. It's paced out perfectly to 6 episodes. And I heard another reviewer that really annoyed me that said he can't handle 6-parters. Well, if you can't handle 6-parters, then you don't like the classic series, because most of them are made up of 6-plus episodes. Yeah, the standard became 4 episodes in the 70s, ending the season usually with a 6-parter. But through the 60s and the early 70s, most of the stories were longer. So if you don't like the longer stories, you don't like the classic series, so don't even bother. And then there was this pathetic idea presented that, oh, the next time they do animations, they should just do cut-down versions and make them no longer than 90 minutes. And if it's a longer story, just work around some of the material and make it fast. Make it pace up. This is a disgusting idea. I wouldn't waste money on... I mean, who decides what's worth animating and what has to be left on the cutting room floor? You're not honoring these classic stories if you do something like that. You would be dishonoring them, and it would be a dishonor to the fans and the people who worked on those. So that would be, to me, the biggest sin of all, apart from trying to just remake them with a whole new cast nowadays and just get supposed lookalikes and soundalikes. That would be even worse. So I'm not up for either of those ideas, and I don't even want to hear about it. So, let's throw that idea right in the garbage now, because that would never fly. And you would destroy any chance. The first one that they did like that, it would flop. And you would destroy any chance of getting any more. So that would be the last one they'd ever animate, because people would, you know, most of the fans, the true fans, would be so disgusted that they wouldn't ever purchase one again. And they wouldn't purchase that one. I can tell you that. So, bad, bad, bad idea. At any rate, I'm just disappointed with the fandom, as I normally am, because the fandom is always overcritical. The fandom, they always, if it's really good, then to them it's really bad. If it's really bad, to them it's really good. And it's always the same old story. And with the animations, they're always bad. That's just all you ever hear. It's sad. It's really sad. And I think that's another reason why BBC America probably pulled out, because all they saw was complaints about it. The ratings probably weren't super high because nobody had any expectations for them. And people's expectations are too high. They think that it's going to be Disney quality animation. Well, I'm sorry, the BBC nor BBC America have the money, have millions of dollars to put in to, you know, 50, 60 year old Doctor Who stories to animate them. That's never going to happen. A lot of love and care has been put into these animations, and it shows. And that's what we should be celebrating, is the hard work of the people who have worked on these, and look at them for what they are. Doctor Who has never been, you know, this high budgeted special effects extravaganza until the new series, of course. But the classic series had to rely on story and character, and it had plenty of that. And it didn't need amazing special effects. So why do we need Disney-style animations to bring these to life and for them to be worth watching? We should be celebrating the shortcomings, not criticizing them every time they come out. We really shouldn't. We should be praising it. We should be thanking the people who bring it to us, because it's kind of like these stories are being brought back to life. And, okay, if you don't like them, don't buy them. It's that simple. So that's my opinion. That's how I feel about it. I just get sick of seeing all the criticism, and this one was being criticized before it even came out. And, of course, the second it came out, that's all you heard. That, oh, it's wooden animation. They're cardboard cutouts, and nothing happens. Nothing moves. I don't know what you saw, but what I saw, it moves. It moves beautifully. It looks wonderful. It came together. It was a wonderful, wonderful animation. There were one or two little questionable things within the animation that I kind of wondered why they went that way. The mummified Padmasambhava. That was a little weird. It wasn't bad. It was an interesting idea. It was creepy. So it kind of keeps in tune with the creepy nature of the story. So I'm okay with it. But yeah, if it were me, I wouldn't have gone that direction. I think as Padmasambhava appeared on screen in the original episodes, I think that was creepy enough, and I think that worked. So I would have definitely kept to something a little closer to that. That was creepy enough. And it didn't make sense for him to be completely emaciated and zombie-like. But I guess zombies are all the rage, so for whatever reason. I don't know. I think that was a Gary Russell special, and sometimes I do question some of his choices. But, oh well. We are not related, and you can see why. I wouldn't have made that choice. But the other little thing that kind of niggled me, but at the same time it amused me, was at the very end when the real Yeti shows up. It looks more like what we think of as a modern Yeti. more like an ape or the Mugatu or something. And while that, like I said, that was amusing, it didn't fit, because that wasn't... it doesn't make any sense that it would look completely different from the robotic Yeti. that made no sense whatsoever. But it was, you know, for animation, I don't mind when they take a little license. I really don't, which is why I don't mind the mummified Padmasambhava so much, even though it's something I wouldn't have done. I don't mind these little things because you can take some license in animation because you're never going to recreate the original just perfectly. So it's fine. It's fine. There's no reason why we can't expand things a little bit, make the sets look a little bigger and more impressive, and people complain about that. And there's just so many things I don't understand about how people look at these. And again, for instance, why do we need a black and white version that has the sides cut off? Why do we need that? Most TVs, 99% of TVs out there, you can turn the color off, and you can watch anything in black and white if you really want to. I don't know why you would want to watch these in black and white when they're made in color, but that's just me. But to me, that's an extra expense that they're putting into these that's absolutely unnecessary. It's just they're creating an extra disc, so the cost is a disc higher. The time and effort and cost of going through and cutting off the sides and making it black and white to have a special disc of that, it makes no sense. You could take that off and you cut some of your cost, right, some of your production cost right there, which could go towards the next animation. So don't make black and white animations. Stop doing that, BBC. Just stop it. We don't need it. We don't need it. And stop cutting the sides off once when you've already made them widescreen. It makes no sense. It makes no sense to me at all. So that's just my two penny worth on that. But I love the story of the Abominable Snowman. I think it paces up perfectly to 6 episodes. I wasn't bored for a second. I loved every minute of it. I thought the animation was brilliant, beautiful, fantastic. As far as the steelbook is concerned, it's a beautiful package. The artwork is great. I loved Troughton in Tibet, that wonderful behind-the-scenes 37-minute documentary that we got. The location that they shot from, that the original show was shot at, Snowdonia there in Wales, that was beautiful. I saw that and I was thinking, wow, that's Middle Earth. That's what it looks like. So it was beautifully shot, that documentary. And love the content, love the historical content that they put into it, love the new content, love seeing Fraser Hines on that beautiful location again. It was a class act all the way. Toby Haydock was great. Chris Chapman's direction was great. That was worth the price of admission right there, if nothing else. And I even checked out some of their Telesnap reconstruction, and they did do some interesting CGI stuff in there. This is a little silly looking, but it was okay. It was okay. I personally like the Telesnaps, but I'm not a huge fan of them, and I would much rather have animation than having to sit and watch a slideshow, even if there is some CGI thrown in there. But CGI Jamie is no comparison to animated Jamie. Nice effort on those, and there are some people who prefer those, and that's fine. If that's what you prefer, go for it. Watch that all you want, but I prefer watching the animated. But you know what, I always go back and watch the original material that does exist, like part two here. I didn't watch part two of the animation. I actually watched the actual remastered episode, and that looks more wonderful than it ever did. It looks better than ever. So that was a wonderful wonderful part two, to see that part two of the story was so beautifully restored, and it looked brilliant in high definition. It really did. I thought I was looking at a 4K picture, and it's not a 4K disc. So it was beautiful. It was beautiful. So this entire release is beautiful. And it really sets the bar high for whoever does the next animation. Whenever that happens, the bar is set really high. So it was a great one to end this run on. And I think they finally found their way as far as how to do these. Have been done wonderfully. And you know, there are standout ones. Like I said, I really loved Evil of Daleks. I really loved Faceless Ones. I thought Fury of the Deep was great, although that one gets really maligned by fans, and I have no idea why. That one looks really good. This one looks even better. I even liked Galaxy 4, and that's that's gotten some criticism too, and just undeserved. So yeah, Abominable Snowman, A+++. It's beautiful. It gets 4 TARDISes out of me. The story and the animation, easy 4 TARDISes out of 5. So if you haven't picked it up and you've been listening to the noise, don't listen to the noise. These modern fans don't know what they're talking about when it comes to classic Doctor Who. It's beautiful. The animation is beautiful. The story is beautiful. It's fantastic. Buy it. Buy it now. Buy multiple copies. Buy it on Blu-ray. Buy it on DVD. Buy the Steelbook. Support these. And maybe the BBC will go, you know, that one was really popular. Let's keep doing this somehow. Let's find a way. And even if it took them longer, I don't think they really need a financial partner. I think they could do it themselves. It might take a little longer, but so what? But I really think they could find an animator and get it done. I mean, hire the fans. The fans could do it. Hire Josh Schnares. If he's being paid, he'll probably do it. I'm speaking for Josh. I'm sorry, Josh. Yeah, take it from me. This is wonderful. Don't listen to, you know, 99% of the other reviews that are out there. They're just going to complain about it. That's all they've done. There's nothing to complain about here. It's a wonderful, wonderful release, and I'm so happy we have it. We waited a long time for it. It was worth the wait, guys. It was really terrific. So that's all I'm going to ramble on for today. I'm almost a half an hour in. I didn't even intend to go this far, but yeah, I've got really fired up with all these reviews I've been watching and hearing, and people just ranting about this and that, and just I knew that they couldn't possibly be right. And when I finally got it this weekend and I finally got to see it finally came in on Saturday, 12 days late, but I finally got it, and it was just like, this is wonderful. I don't, what the heck is going on? These fans, I don't know, I tell you. At any rate, please check this out. Go buy it. You will not regret it. Unless you just, you know, if you hate life, if you hate the classic series, if you hate animations, you won't enjoy it. But if you love classic Doctor Who like me, and especially the 60s like me, then you're going to find that this is a treasure. This is wonderful. So, go out and get it, guys. Go and get it. All right. Next time, we will talk about more cool Doctor Who stuff, like my watch through and listen through of season 2 of Doctor Who. We will continue our discussion on that next time when we come back for episode 217 of Q Who, sometime in the next week, probably. Until then, guys, you know the drill.
You have been listening to a fan production for Dream Realm Enterprises. This is a not-for-profit program.